This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. The United States Supreme Court has ruled that hundreds of thousands of young immigrants to the United States, many of whom have spent most of their lives here, can make their cases to stay in the country. It's a stunning rebuke to President Donald Trump's effort to end legal protections to the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, also known as DACA. These are the young men and women who we often call the Dreamers. Some came to the States as infants and toddlers, others as school-age kids. All say that they want to continue contributing in the U.S. as working adults, even as their lives get pulled again and again into intense election year debates about immigration. With us today are Julio Mejia and Maria Ibarra Freira, who both came to the States young and who are living and working in Southeast Michigan. Maria, Julio, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you so much for having us.
Glad to be here.
I wanted to just ask, first of all, how you're feeling about this decision. Julio, could you go first?
It feels great, you know, and it's awesome that they, you know, they came to a conclusion, but it's still kind of just going to be in the back of my mind since from one of the articles I did happen to read, it said that the vote only came down to 5-4 and 4 against. So that kind of still leaves you on the fence on, what is this gonna? Are they gonna vote on this again, or is this gonna repeat again later on in the year? So that's exactly how I feel right now, just on the fence about it.
Sure, Maria. I know that you were not feeling super hopeful about this decision as recently as yesterday. How about today?
Yeah. So much different. Yeah, we had anticipated and had prepared ourselves, I think, sort of as a protection mechanism that it was going to be a bad decision. And I myself was sort of already in that space. But today it just, you know, it was much better than we thought it was going to be. I feel relief. Also a little bit of shock. I don't think it's fully set in yet, but very, very happy with this decision.
You know, a lot of people know that the Dreamers are people who have been here for a long time, are often top of their class academically with, you know, professional positions in the community, but they may not quite understand the extent to which the uncertainty affects people's lives. And I wondered if I could ask you both if you'd be willing to tell us some ways in which the uncertainty has sat with you in terms of your daily life and your long-term plans. Maria, will you go first?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, not many people understand what it's like to live every day, not sure if you're going to be able to keep your driver's license, keep your job, stay with your family and your loved ones. So you go every day living with this underlying level of anxiety and fear that really any day you could lose the life that you know. And it causes just a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, a lot of confusion. I know a lot of people who have held on making plans, at least for myself. There's a lot of things that I like felt like I couldn't quite solidify because you never know what could happen. So it's, you know, we have this positive DACA decision, but even then, as Julio said, who knows what could happen? We've lived our whole lives in the U.S. with this constant level of uncertainty. So, you know, even with DACA, first it was safe, then not, and then again, it was in danger, so just back and forth. So that even with having this positive decision with the Supreme Court, it still feels like, okay, what next? We're not going to be safe until it's a permanent solution for all undocumented people.
Julio, how about you? I mean, are there things in your life that maybe might have been different if this cloud hadn't been hanging over you all this time?
Yeah, definitely. I just happened to enroll back in school since last time we spoke. I was going to take some summer classes, but the uncertainty of, I might not have DACA in the middle of the summer actually caused me not to take classes for the summer semester, just because I don't think I was going to be fully into school, and, you know, having that in the back of my mind just did not help at all. You know, gives you a little anxiety just thinking about it. And especially with, you know, needing the job because paying for school out of pocket and on top of cost of living and everything like that.
For sure.
Yeah, it definitely makes a dent in my life of planning, daily planning and even as far as tomorrow, don't know what might happen. So,
is your employer supportive?
My employer is very supportive. They know my situation. Every time it comes to renew, they always make sure that I have everything I need, and they make sure that I'm getting everything done in time, just so they know way ahead and they can prepare for me. You know, they talked about maybe getting position in a different country. So they're very helpful. So, you know, that really helps a lot.
Is it okay to say that you work in the tech industry?
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay. Yeah. What kinds of conversations has this meant for you, either with your bosses or your colleagues, about what's going on, what's been going on with the policy and the challenge?
With my bosses, they're always, you know, they see it from the other side. So they're always saying, oh, nothing's ever going to happen. You're going to be fine. That's always the answer that I get when I tell them, hey, you know, I'm worried about this, and we should plan ahead. And most of my colleagues, they don't know about it. I like to keep it a secret, or just don't like to talk about it, because some of them might disagree, and it's frowned upon to bring political views into the workplace. So I try not to bring it up. I do try to educate some of my coworkers when they do get a little curious about my status, and we definitely do have those conversations every now and then.
Yeah. The decision that the court handed down is very technical, and it talks a lot about the points on which the federal government rationalized dropping DACA. But there are points in the decision in which the majority notes this is a thing that's happening to people. Are either of you feeling optimistic that more Americans agree with the decision the court made now than maybe a couple of years ago?
I would like to think so, especially since everything that goes on in the world, it's a lot easier to communicate the news and anything that might be of importance to people. Many people who live here, you know, it's like 6 degrees of separation. They probably know somebody who has DACA.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably understanding it more and getting familiar with the situation. So I think more people are for it. And I hate to say it, but how can you be against it? It's just something that is baffling to me to understand that.
Maria, I know that you do some advocacy work. What's your take on this?
Yeah, it feels so much different now than the political landscape when I first started organizing. It was for the DREAM Act about 10 years ago, where you couldn't even say the word undocumented without people fighting you on it. And now, you know, so much has changed, and it's sad that things had to get this bad in order for people to start seeing the humanity of immigrants. But I do feel like at least now the conversation of DACA is more popular. People know it. And I would say that, you know, most people probably at least have a little bit of an understanding of what it means. I think now the real challenge is going to be on how do we make sure that this doesn't happen again, that we don't have to go through a whole another court hearing to keep it valid, and also to make sure that the conversation doesn't just stay with DACA recipients, that there's a lot of people out there, you know, our parents, our family members, people who really were able, you know, who sacrificed so much for us to be able to be here, that don't have the same opportunities that DACA recipients. So, you know, to me, the fight is really out there to make sure that we don't leave behind the other 11 million undocumented people that have made it possible for us to be here and have all these benefits.
Is there anything that is on your mind as an appropriate next step?
Yeah, so we're doing a lot of work making sure that we have driver's licenses available for everybody, every Michigander, regardless of immigration status. And there have been bills. So there's two bills right now that have been introduced last year in October in the Michigan legislature. And we're going to keep fighting to push them through and to make sure that we have enough support so that not just DACA recipients, but every undocumented person has access to a driver's license and to an ID. I think we've seen, especially right now with COVID, how crucial it is to have an ID to be able to get tested, to be able to get care. And it seems like a really ripe moment to show how all these issues are interconnected. So we if you want to get more information about what this fight for driver's license looks like and how you can get involved, you can go to drivemichiganforward.com.
Julio, I had a question for you. Do you think that the Supreme Court decision means any changes in your future plans? Do you think you're going to go ahead and re-enroll?
I will definitely re-enroll in classes again. I would like to finish my degree at some point. But that's as far as my planning goes. You know, I've been thinking about buying a house, but that's also up in the air. The only plans I have is to stay in school as far as my future. There's nothing about traveling or family or anything like that, just because I don't want to be put in a situation where, you know, I don't want to be let down.
Yeah. We've been talking today with Julio Mejia and also with Maria Ibarra Freire about today's Supreme Court decision, saying that the federal government's effort to end the DACA program was not legal. Both of you, I want to thank you so much for your time and for sharing your thoughts today. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having.
Thank you so much for having us.